Prince Harry and Meghan. And some people, from what I understand, got up really early, did you hear? To watch the wedding. And they had wedding-themed parties and tea time and all those things. They were really into it. Imagine if you received an invitation to the royal wedding. Even if you're not into it, wouldn't you be a little bit excited? I would. And I'm not into it, but I'd be excited. Hey, I got an invitation from the royalty. Would you ignore it? I don't think so. I don't think we would ignore that invitation. As I said, you're always going to have people, because there are all kinds of people who would ignore it, and I want to give that, you know, give that them their due. But still, it is a huge honor, and we would, most of us would take it seriously. Now think in relation to the banquet, the invitation that God has given to us through Christ to be a part of the feast in the kingdom of heaven. I think we get it up here, right? We understand that God is bigger than the royal family, right? We get that. But still, why is it that we take the invitation that Jesus gives to us not as seriously as we might the invitation from a human origin? Today, let's pray and explore this invitation. Let's try to understand this wonderful, awesome gift that God has given to us to be a part of the wedding feast, to be part of the banquet in God's kingdom. Let us pray as we consider our response to God. Holy God, we confess in our hearts we don't often do what we say we do. We say yes to you, but our actions are different. So Holy God, come this morning, speak to us. Help us to receive this awesome and important invitation that Christ gives to us and respond with a resounding yes. All these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So the story is really quite simple, right? There's a king. We know about kingdoms. There's a wedding, and there's a party. And the king sends his servants to call people, the chosen people. But they wouldn't come. The king patiently sends other servants to announce that all things are ready. But they couldn't care less, and they ignore that invitation. And finally, the king's patience runs out. After all, this is an awesome. This is a privilege, and they're ignoring it. And so the original guest proved unworthy. And now the servants are sent out to invite everyone in the streets who would say yes, and they came. But there's a second part of the story, and that is that the king noticed that someone who came to this wedding did not wear the wedding robe. And that person is thrown out because he didn't have the proper attire. So this is supposed to be an understanding, an explanation of the invitation to the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of hard to understand, right? Because there are so many pieces to it, and I think it will take us probably even a lifetime to understand, but let's dig into it for the little time we have today. The application for us is really simple, my friends, that through Jesus, God has invited all of us to his kingdom in heaven, amen, to a banquet, to a feast, to his house. You know, when someone invites us to their house, it's a privilege, right? Because they're letting us in to something that's important to them, that's sacred. And so we should take invitations in that light. And the kingdom of God, if you consider it, that's a place that's perfect. That is where we all want to be. And John, you know, we heard about Paul, as you shared, Mr. Lawn, about Paul, who shares about the truths of God through his letters. Now, John, one of the disciples, was given a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven, and he shares with us in Revelation about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so Revelation 21, verse 4, here's what he writes. He writes a lot more, but this is the part I really appreciate. And he said, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the old former things have passed away. And the one seated on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
Amen.
Wow. No more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. That's a world I want to live in. You know, just the short introduction that Nancy gave got me crying. I don't know about you, but it got me going. Thinking about the pain that people suffer. In fact, right now, my friends, we are in a war. And there are innocent, countless innocent people suffering, my friends. A lot of tears, a lot of pain. Do we not want a world that's better than this? Don't we want to be in a perfect and a just and a beautiful world? And so if you do, my friends, I imagine that's why you're here. That you know what this world has to offer is not enough. And in fact, it's pretty bad at times. But the good news, and there is good news that we have, is that the sun is still shining. We don't see it, right? That was beautiful. I couldn't have planned it better. I wonder who planned it, right?
Obviously.
Right?
Yeah, long time.
See, that's how it works. God does plan things for our good. And he brings things together to give us a message of hope and love and an invitation every day to know him better. To leave your burdens with him. To come to him for healing and hope and joy and peace. All these things that this world cannot, will not give you. Even if you have but a fleeting moment of joy, it's going to be fleeting, my friends. Consider the things that we pursue and the things that make us happy or we think that make us happy. Do they last? No, not when they're earthly. But the joy that God gives to us in his kingdom of heaven is eternal. And that's the invitation that we have been given. But do we take it seriously? The King of all kings has invited us to his kingdom. My friends, do we understand what that means? Just that idea alone is amazing to consider. But the reality is we've stopped being amazed. It's become routine. How many times we say the Lord's Prayer and it's just, while you're saying the prayer, you might be doing a to-do list in your head. Have you ever done that? I have. I'm trying not to, and I'm getting better, but come on. We have stopped being amazed and awed and understand the privilege that we've been given to be a part of God's kingdom. We need to reclaim that respect, that joy, that awesome feeling. For most of us, it's become routine, right? We just do it because we've always done it. And that's understandable. Have you ever heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt? Right? When things become familiar, when we're used to it, they lose their light, for example. Turning on the light, turning on the heat, we take it for granted. But try waking up morning without heat. Thank you, Zamzam, for this comfortable, because you come sometimes at night to do this. We take things for granted that are a privilege, my friends. You know, celebrities, right? The royal wedding I mentioned. So, you know, for us, it's a privilege to be invited. Well, imagine if you got an invitation to the White House. It's a privilege. You'd be showing that. I'd be showing that off. But for the family, so I imagine that the president's family, I imagine the royal family, you know, they know each other. And so, and even celebrities, they know each other. And sometimes you hear the way they look at their parents and they roll their eyes and they don't quite understand why they're so famous. Because they're just mom and dad. For us, we might have gotten into this thing where, well, God is just God. And we forget that he's the God of all creation. Above everything, no beginning, no end. And we take him for granted. Forgetting the power that he wields and forgetting the consequences of not honoring the king's invitation. So Jesus shares with us clearly a couple things. One, the love that God has for us, that he invites us all. And he's so patient with us, my friends. If he was not patient with us, this world would have been done over with that flood. Mm-hmm. But it's not. Because yet again, God gives us a yet another chance to come to him. It's no accident that you're here in person and online. And if you're online, come in person. We miss you. There is no accident, my friends, that you are here. You have been called. You've been invited. You've been gifted. But do you choose to say yes to God? That's a choice we have. That's a decision each one of us has to make. And my friends, God will not stop calling us to himself because he loved us to the point where he gave his only son, his only begotten son, that you and I would not be separated from him. For your sin, my sin, prevents us. Excuse me. It prevents us from being in the presence of God. We have to have the right garment in order to be in his presence. And I'll get to that in a minute, but as we hear the story of the king, right? We serve a king of all kings, not just a little king, a king of all kings.
Amen.
As we consider our response, understand that saying yes to God is not enough with our words, especially if our actions don't match. It's similar to saying, yes, I'll join the church. Yes, I'll come to church. But maybe we don't say yes to the other things that God calls us to do, to be a part of this mission of sharing the good news of invitation to the kingdom with others. Sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we don't have time. Sometimes we feel we don't have the resources to give because we need this, we need that, and we have all these things that need to get done, places to be, people to see. Well, that's the response that some of the folks gave. And Luke 14, verses 15 to 24, gives us the same parable, but a little more details. And in that parable, people said, one person said, I just bought a house and I need to do some renovations. Sunday's my only day to do it. Okay, I'm paraphrasing here. Another one said, I've just brought 5 teams of oxen. I really need to check them out. Another one said, I just got married. I need to get home to my wife. I have a family. I have things to do. What are our excuses, my friends? Are they the same as these excuses that we hear in Luke? We might even add other excuses, other things that are valid to us in our human understanding. But think for a moment who is inviting us. Think for a moment about how easily we get into prioritizing things and putting things above God. Remember COVID? It stopped us in our tracks. Think about to the time that the things that we thought that were so important, they were all taken away. We couldn't go to work. We couldn't drive those cars. We couldn't even meet people. We couldn't go to weddings. We couldn't date. Not that I dated, I had my husband, but you know what I'm saying. We couldn't go to parties. We could not do all those things that we took for granted. Even food and toilet paper were hard to find. You remember that time?
Mm-hmm.
So think about what happens when it's all taken away. What's left? My friends, God is the beginning and the end. He's the foundation of all that we need. So the message today, the invitation is today, is that stop putting all those things before me. Understand the invitation that I am giving you to be a part of the kingdom. That's what God is saying. Understand that it came at a cost, and also understand that if you say no, there is a consequence to that. That's your choice. He gives us that choice to say no to him. But saying no will also keep us out of the kingdom. He doesn't want to force us to something where we don't want to be. But he does want us to give us that joy, that peace, that hope that passes all human understanding that can only be found in him who is faithful. So my friends, the fact is everything else that we have on earth will be gone. Our family, our kids, our life, our very breath, our cars, the oxen, the wedding, all those things will be gone. And when it's our time to enter the kingdom, what are we going to say? Oh, I was too busy. I had all these things I needed to do before you. I couldn't give you back a portion. I couldn't tithe because I had to get this. All that crumbled. My friends, the invitation is real. God, the creator of all things, has given us this privilege. But we need to be worthy, and we need to heed his words well. We cannot be worthy on our own, but the beautiful gift is we have the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to us. We have the covering of his blood that makes us right with God, that takes away our sins, that covers our sins. Because there has to be a price of sins. If God is perfect, then how can he make a rule and not keep it? And the rule was, you cannot break the commandments. We broke the commandments by sinning, by putting everything first. And so the price was paid by Jesus. And in turn, his blood washes us clean. That's hard for us to understand. I know that. But that is the gospel, the good news, that our freedom, our invitation comes at a high cost to our King. And he paid it. The robe that the wedding guest did not have on. Did you hear the last part? There was someone at the kingdom who didn't have the right garment, and he was cast out. Well, the right garment is relying on Jesus. The wrong garment is putting on self-righteousness, thinking that our outer deeds are enough to make us right with God. That's not right, and that's not enough, because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. My friends, it is Jesus who has baptized us, covered us with his Spirit, who has given us a new life, and his covering we need to wear to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because without Jesus, we cannot. And so hear what Paul, here's another letter from Paul to the Galatians. He says in his letter to them in chapter 3, verses 26-27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ.
Amen.
My friends, your baptism is important. When you were baptized as a child, your parents made promises. But that's why when you are old enough, you are confirmed, because you make those promises for yourself. And even if you're not confirmed, when you become a member of the church, you make those promises, those vows about believing in Jesus, believing in what he's done, and receiving him as your Savior. He's the covering of our sin. And so, my friends, as we hear that invitation once more, just as the king provided wedding garments for his guests, God has provided us salvation through Christ and an invitation that is ever ready for you. I pray that each one of us would say yes joyfully, prayerfully, understanding the privilege that we have been given in Christ. Amen.